The title of this conference is The Sacrament of Penance. The Sacrament of Penance is the Easter gift of the risen Lord Jesus to His church. On Easter Sunday evening, when Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them." The Sacrament of Penance, along with Eucharist and Baptism, are the greatest gifts Jesus gave to His church. It is therefore regrettable that so few Catholics in today's church make sufficient use of the Sacrament of Reconciliation, as it is now called. The failure to use this sacrament is often due to a lack of education regarding the proper way to receive it. There are still many adults of 60 and 70 years of age who are still going to confession exactly the same way they were taught to go as a 7-year-old child. There is a proper adult way to receive this sacrament, which could bring much spiritual help to people if they made frequent use of it. If used properly, this sacrament does not have to be a terrible burden, which so many Catholics have considered it in the past. Instead, it can be the source of great spiritual peace and joy, as well as an assurance of sustained spiritual growth toward wholeness and holiness. Carl Jung once remarked that he had very few practicing Catholics among his many thousands of patients who came to him with mental illness. His opinion was that the reason for this was that Catholics had in the Sacrament of Penance the opportunity to overcome their feelings of guilt, to get rid of their past faults, and to be able to make substantial progress in the spiritual life. And therefore, they did not have as many neuroses or mental illnesses as people who are deprived of this sacrament. Penance is the sacrament of metanoia. That is the sacrament of conversion and a change of direction in one or more areas of one's life. As such, this sacrament is primarily future-oriented rather than past-oriented. This is probably the greatest error that has been made in the past, where we emphasized only the confession of one's past sins, and we neglected to emphasize sufficiently the resolution of amendment. In the past, when most people went to confession, the only thing they talked about was to give a list of their past sins. Almost nothing was said about what one planned to do differently in the future. The key to the success of this sacrament is to take adequate time and preparation. During the preparation period, one does need indeed to examine one's conscience to see where one has been failing to live up to the three great commandments of love: love of God, love of neighbor, and a proper love of self. We need to have some idea of where we now are in our practice of the love of God, of others, and oneself, in order to discern what changes we need to make in the future in these three relationships of love. But our main concern during our preparation for this sacrament is to make an honest decision regarding what we plan to do in the future in each of these three areas. What changes do we propose to make in our present life? And what assurance can we give God and ourselves that we are ready to take the necessary measures to bring about these future changes in our conduct, in our thoughts, in our desires, our words, and our actions. Until we are ready to make some change in our attitude and relationship with God, neighbor, and self, we are not yet ready to receive this sacrament of penance. Contrition, or sorrow for past sins, is indeed a necessary part of the preparation for the sacrament of penance. It is no longer proper to recite an act of contrition in the confessional. This was recommended in pre-Vatican II days when the priest recited the words of absolution in Latin. Since these words were not understood by the penitent was asked to recite an act of contrition during that time. In the new rite of penance, the words of absolution are said in English, and it is proper for the penitent to listen to these beautiful words rather than say a routine act of contrition. Sorrow for sins more properly belongs during the preparation for the sacrament. There are no magic or necessary words that need to be recited in order to experience sorrow for past sins. Contrition is something that exists in the heart and is truly present whenever we sincerely turn our hearts away from our past sins and resolve to change our life for the better. Sorrow for sins is an attitude, and so no words need to be used to express it. The very act of going to confession is usually sufficient to express our sorrow and our readiness to make a change in the direction of our life. Exactly what should an adult say when going to confession? There are no ritual words that need to be said. The new rite of the sacrament of penance does recommend that the penitent bring a Bible along to confession and read an appropriate passage that concerns the things one wants to talk about. But this is only a recommendation and is not at all necessary. It is also recommended in the new rite of penance that the penitent sit down face to face with the priest in the reconciliation room or wherever else the sacrament is received. People are still given the option of going to confession behind the confessional screen, but this is now greatly discouraged by most priests. The sacrament is so much more effective and profitable when one can sit down face to face with the priest and talk over one's resolution of amendment, as well as express regret for one's past faults. Catholics who still insist on going to confession behind the confessional screen are missing many graces that might occur when it is done face to face. Most priests are much more ready to make some worthwhile suggestions regarding the resolution of amendment when they can look the penitent in the face and see the reaction to their words of advice. It is no longer necessary to say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." But it is still proper to say these words or some other words requesting the blessing and the help of the priest. Nor is it necessary to tell how long it has been since one's last confession. But again, if one so desires, one may do so. A good way to begin would be simply to say, "Well, Father, here I am. I've been thinking about what changes I need to make in my life in the three areas of love of God, love of neighbor, and love of self. And here is what I've come up with." Then one describes exactly how one plans to show a greater love of God, love of others, and proper love of self. If one wishes, one may read some scripture passage that refers to one or the other of the proposed changes in one's life. After one has shared one's resolutions of amendment, it would be proper to say, Father, do you have any suggestions that might help me carry out these changes in my present life? After the priest has offered whatever advice he judges proper, the penitent then might say, Father, please lay your hands on my head and give me the absolution of my sins and the grace to amend my life in the future. Ordinarily, the priest will also suggest some prayers or acts of penance. However, a serious decision regarding the resolution of amendment would be a sufficient and appropriate penance without any additional prayers. It is recommended that one bows one head when receiving the absolution of the priest. Then, at the end, you might say, Thank you, Father, and God bless you. It would be time to get up and leave. What about the confession of one's past sins? No mention was made of this in the above suggested scenario for confession. This was done deliberately to show you that you can make a very good confession without ever mentioning one's past sins, as long as they were not mortal sins. The only sins that church law obliges us to confess are those very serious sins which we call mortal, and of which we are quite certain we have committed since the last good confession. In case of serious doubt as to whether our sins are mortal or not, church law clearly says that we are not obliged to confess them. All of this may come as a surprise to many people, but this has been on the books of church law for many, many centuries. However, it is recommended that one confess anything of the past that is troubling one's present conscience, anything for which one feels real guilt, regret, and sorrow for having done. Usually, the resolution of amendment which one shares with the priest in confession will be a positive response which one plans to make as a result of one's past sins. This is the metanoia or act of conversion that is necessary for a valid sacrament of penance. So, in the course of the conversation with the priest in the confessional, usually both there will be an admission of past faults as well as a resolution of future amendment. It is highly recommended that one limit the resolution of amendment to just one thing in each of the three areas covered, namely love of God, love of neighbor, and proper love of self. Thomas A. Kempis, in his famous book, Imitation of Christ, states that if we could overcome one fault each year, we would soon be perfect. One of the mistakes many people make is to try to do too much at one time. It would be better to work for a whole year overcoming one fault and practicing the opposite virtue than attempting many things which usually end in failure. How often should one go to confession? One should receive the sacrament of penance whenever one is ready to make some change in one or the other of the three areas of relationship with God, neighbor, and self. This could be once a month or once every 3 or 4 months. Normally, one is not ready to make a change in one's life every week, so weekly confession is not generally recommended. However, someone who is strongly addicted to some fault where there is constant danger of relapse might find weekly confession an immense help in bringing about a true conversion of one's life. The sacrament of penance is a two-way street. Not only does the penitent make a pledge to God to bring about a change of direction in one's life in one or more areas. God also makes a pledge to the penitent in each sacrament of penance to give that person all the grace and help one needs in order to bring about the suggested change. Each time one goes to confession, one receives what might be called a whole batch of IOUs from God, which obligates God to come to our rescue whenever we are tempted to break the resolutions of amendment we have made. Another image to describe God's commitment of grace to us in the sacrament of penance is to imagine the penitent receiving a book of blank checks drawn on the bank of heaven each time one goes to confession. The penitent's name is written as the payee, and Jesus Christ has signed his name as the payor. We need only to fill in the date and the amount of grace and help we need, and the bank of heaven will cash it without asking any questions. Each time we go to confession, we receive another issue of checks on the bank of heaven. A marvelous way to make the most of the sacrament of penance is to connect it with a personal growth plan. It is recommended that such a personal growth plan be made approximately once every 3 months. If one is in spiritual direction with the same person, and that person happens to be a priest, it would be advisable for the penitent to make two copies, one for the priest and one for oneself. This personal growth plan will actually be the resolution of amendment which one confesses in the sacrament of penance. It is also suggested that the relationship with oneself be divided into two parts, relationship with one's inner self and relationship with one's body. What I plan to do here is to give you some suggestions for each of these four areas. Our relationship with God, which is especially our prayer life, our relationship with others, which is our ministry, our relationship with our inner self, our spiritual life, and finally our relationship or attitude towards our body and bodily health. The recommendation I would make would be for a person to choose just one resolution from each of these four areas. One where one's conscience indicates the greatest need to make a change in one's way of life. However, one needs to be convinced that whatever the resolution that is made, that it is attainable if the proper plans are made. Otherwise, it is useless to make such a resolution. These four resolutions, one from each area, will then be the main topics to discuss with the confessor in the sacrament of penance. If such a policy is followed consistently, penance then would be received approximately every 3 months. As a result, one will surely experience real spiritual growth in each of the four areas. Some suggested resolutions for improving one's relationship of love with God would be as follows. I will give God some prime time each day in prayer. Time when I am most alert, most free of distraction. Therefore, my best time. Another possibility, I will spend some time each day reading the Gospels in order to get to know Jesus Christ better. Another possibility, I will spend time each day or each week praying with others in a prayer group. Or I will spend time each day trying to increase my trust and confidence in God and in God's loving care for us. A good resolution would be, I will make a repertoire of favorite scripture texts which I can then use in my daily dialogue of prayer with God. If a person wants to be really heroic, one might resolve to tithe one's waking hours each day and give one-tenth of that time to God in prayer, spiritual reading, or religious study. Another possible resolution, I will try to make my first thought each morning upon awakening a prayer of praise, of gratitude, and petition for help. Or I will seek each day to discern what is God's will for me in all of my thoughts, desires, words, and actions. I will try each day to make God more real in my life. I will try to develop a deeper and more intimate relationship of love with the risen Lord Jesus. I will try to make myself more open to the Holy Spirit so that I can develop a deeper relationship with God. I will try to share my faith in God with others. Another resolution in regards to our relationship with God could be something concerning spiritual direction and our relationship with our spiritual director. All of these are simply possibilities, suggestions. The idea would be to choose either one of these or something else that one's common sense, one's good judgment, one's conscience is saying that this is needed in order to improve, to intensify our relationship of love with God. The second area where at least one resolution needs to be made is our relationship with others. It is there very interesting that in the Gospels, for every one time that Jesus talks about a good relationship with God, there are at least five references to the necessity of having a good relationship with others. In fact, Jesus says, "By this shall all know that you're my disciples, by the love you have one for another." St. John in his epistle tells us that anyone who says he loves God and yet hates or neglects his neighbor, that person is a liar. That it's impossible to love God and at the same time refuse to love our fellow man. So this second area of resolutions is in many ways the key to the success of our spiritual life as well as the sacrament of penance. Some possible suggestions would be, I will try each day to love each member of my family with a Christ-like love. I will use my time, my talents, energy, money, possessions to do as much good as possible for others. I will forgive again and again anyone who has hurt or offended me in the past. We know that Jesus is very insistent that we cannot expect forgiveness from God unless we're willing to forgive our fellow human beings. And Jesus also insists that not only must we be willing to forgive them once, but as he says, 70 times 7, over and over again. And so forgiveness of others who have offended us in one way or another, even though it may have been many years ago, will be one of the frequent resolutions that we need to make in this second area of love of others. Other possible resolutions would be, I will make restitution to anyone whom I have treated unfairly, unjustly, dishonestly, or uncharitably. I will work in a positive way to establish justice in my community, in my country, in the whole world. I will share generously my goods with the have-nots of the world and see that all men and women are my brothers and sisters. I will do all in my power to work for world peace and for the end of war and violence in the world. I will do all in my power to work cooperatively with my fellow workers to fulfill our obligations of justice. I will study in the Gospels how Jesus loved others so that I will know how I should love my fellow human beings. This was a resolution that St. Therese the Little Flower found very, very helpful, studying the Gospels to see how Jesus loved his disciples and then trying to love the other sisters in the convent in the same way. I will try to discern where in my present life I fail to love others and try to remedy such faults. I will make a special effort to eliminate from my life those faults that upset others. I will love my enemies as Jesus has commanded us to love, including individuals, groups, races, and nations. The third area where a resolution might be made in the sacrament of penance is relationship toward our inner self, our spiritual life. Some possible resolutions might be, I will try to have a good self-image, recognizing and appreciating the many good things in my life and character. So many people today have a poor, a low self-image. I will try to overcome depression and discouragement in my life. I will try to grow in self-knowledge, both of the good and the bad. I will learn how to control my anger, my impatience, my tendency to use violence to get my way. I will spend time to develop my mind. I will learn how to handle conflict, confrontation, criticism, opposition, as well as praise. These are just a few of the many resolutions that we might want to make in regards to our inner life. But we just pick out one and work on one thing at a time. Finally, our relationship with our bodies. I will do what is necessary to control my sexuality. I will take reasonable care of my bodily health. I will eat the proper foods and avoid those foods and drinks that are not good for my health. I will take sufficient physical exercise each day. I will take sufficient sleep and rest and recreation. I will avoid excessive use of alcohol, drugs, nicotine, and caffeine. I will try to lead a balanced life, avoiding extremes and excesses of any kind. This is the end of the conference.